welcome to this Sunday morning meeting podcast from Kingdom Faith Yorkshire. Today's message is by Paul Abel.
It was good to have that group up here because you could see how diverse. Well, in fact, you didn't quite see how diverse the team was because, as Rob was saying, there was a whole bunch of younger guys as well with them. So, you know, if that lot can do it, amen, we can all do it.
Yeah.
Questionnaires are probably the easiest form of talking to people on the streets that has ever been invented, because when you're doing an opinion poll, many, many people do actually quite like doing opinion polls, and it's got like multi-choice answers as well, which people tend to like. And so it's a great tool, and it gives us some really valuable information on what our town's thinking. In 2007, we did something very similar with the street questionnaires, and some of the things we got back for when we were asking, you know, what if you were to go to church, because we only really want to get the opinions of people that don't go to church, because that's the ones we're trying to say, actually, there's something good here. So for those people, when you go through the questionnaire, we were getting the kind of answer to what kind of church would you like. They were saying things like, well, I'd like to see a creche and good care for the children. I'd like it to be a modern building. I'd like sort of loud, rocky worship and American-style preaching. It'd be great to have a coffee shop, and it would be good to be in the centre of town. Does anywhere you know answer any of those? And this is why, this is the season of giving out these now. Because we want people, the whole thing with this, you see, it's quite minimalist on the front, because the whole thing is supposed to give the message of something fun, modern, contemporary, with pictures and with writing. And of course it's got some details on the back. So I know some of the guys, some of you have already been giving them out, because we have had people come back here during the week to ask more about us. So it's working.
Yeah.
So wouldn't it be great if every single person who's part of Kingdom Faith Yorkshire delivers some leaflets?
Yeah.
You know, maybe you can only do 5. I don't know. Maybe you can do 50, 150, 500. I did about 60 yesterday, and it took me ages, because doing it when your neighbours are out, they want to talk to you about it. So, but hey, that's brilliant, isn't it? And some of my neighbours were saying, oh yeah, we'll come down. And they're either going to come down for a Sunday, or they said, oh, well, I'll come along to the coffee shop. I'd like to see the coffee shop, you know. So there it is. It's a great tool. Let's use it. So now, don't forget, though, if you're going to deliver these, please tell Brian, because we want to coordinate where they're being done. So if you do happen to live in a street with 672 houses and you're not sure you're going to get all that done, just make a record of the numbers that have been done, so that we can try and make sure eventually, over the next short period of time, we begin to get the whole of Scarborough done. You know, so we can start with our own streets. And believe me, when the weather's slightly warmer, it's great. You do. You start to get to talk to people. Others, it's quite quick. Also, my street, if you've ever been down it, some of the houses are up right up the hill, so you have to go all the way up the hill. And then, because they're sort of huge things, you're trying to find the letterbox. It's amazing. I had quite a laugh with one lady, because I was just, I said good morning to her, because she was hanging out some washing out the front of her house. Huge, huge house, and I couldn't find the letterbox, which is what I was going to ask her. And just as I said it, I tripped. So I nearly ended up flying into her. But it sparked off a good conversation. So, yeah, if you don't want conversations, you can still give them out. Just do it quick, so that nobody notices. Let's just get them through people's door. And we'll be tweeting and Facebooking regularly if you got yours. I don't know if some of you have seen the one that I did. So that will be going out and around the town as well. We will have a poster in the window at some point as well that says you're invited. And so the whole thing becomes a bit of a theme. Yeah? Because I know that in a different survey, never one that we've done, sometimes a common answer to why don't you go to church was, nobody invited me. Yeah, so you might want to invite people personally with those, and that's a good plan. But also, we want to get coverage as well. So it's a bit of both. But yeah, wouldn't it be awesome? And it's just fantastic to think everybody here, under the anointing, just putting that through people's doors, something going into their house that's just got the blessing on. Eh?
Amen.
Like those handkerchiefs that went out from the apostles and brought healing. Maybe we'll just bring healing into households by putting that through the door. Come on, let's believe. Yeah? We're standing in the Hall of Fame.
Amen.
I like that video. It's Will I Am and the script. You can't get much more trendy than that, really, can you? What other notices have I got here? Joanne, as we've got the next Sunday lunch coming up next week, and as you can read, probably, not at the back maybe, it's got book underlined about 56 times. So Joanne would really, 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 really appreciate it if you did just tell her, preferably this week, if not during the week, if not next Sunday, just so that she can let the carousel, which is just around the corner, know. As last time, it went up from 17 to 36. So that was quite... So 36 people went to Sunday lunch. Hey, come on, family, let's hit town. Hallelujah. So that was brilliant, wasn't it? I've also got the showing of The Hobbit. It's coming up. As you can see, 9:15 is kind of booked, but you will get top... The people that pay first will be the ones that get the reserved seats, because this is now oversubscribed. But if you've paid, if you've not paid, you will lose your seat. Because we limit it to the number we can fit on sofas, just to make it nice. All right, so there's still some 6:15, which includes me, and I haven't paid, so you might knock me off. there is an afternoon showing, but that's full too. So really, the 6:15 is the one to go for. Praise God. And, yes, I haven't got the video to show you. We'll give you that next week, but this is getting very close. Our conference, this, not this. This is getting very, very close. Hallelujah. Paul Manwaring is very excited.
Yes.
And as are the other guys, I've no doubt, but I haven't spoken to them recently. So we're really looking forward to what God's going to do. It was very significant last year in how God advanced us forward and what God did amongst the people of this town. Don't forget to keep praying. All right, we need to keep praying, because the enemy doesn't want people at that conference, because it's going to be so significant in terms of the encounter with God and what God has to say to us through the Word and the whole experience of being together. You know, God lifted our heads last year. It seemed something almost beyond what we could ever do, and that's suddenly right. We realized God does it.
Amen.
You know, and then and that seemed like an enormous faith project, but the next thing was we were taking on a building, which was an even bigger faith project. So it's great how God just teaches you along the way, isn't it? You know?
Amen.
Hopefully, by the grace of God, when I'm saying we're going to do this and we're going to do this, it's because I've heard from God.
Yes.
And so we can go with it and run with it.
That's right.
And chase after it.
Yeah?
Yeah,
yes.
Oh, you lot are wonderful. Right. That's about it. Just to remind you about Youth Angels, the youth club is growing here. Isn't that wonderful?
Yeah.
Hallelujah. That's on Friday nights. But as ever, because it's on, because it's now building based, if you want to join the team and help out, that would be fantastic. Now, it might mean that you've got some talents like craft or, I don't know, something that you think you could share your hobby in some way. And so you might want to come along or let Dan know, I could come and help with this, maybe for one night, maybe join the team regularly, whatever. Just be great to have people who come, and you can just hang out and feel old like me, but you can just come and hang out. They're really nice guys that are coming along. Nearly all of them, of course, don't come to the church, so that's exciting, isn't it? It is. It's exciting, isn't it? All these groups outside of Sunday morning are just growing. They're growing faster than Sunday morning, so that's exciting too. Hallelujah, because we've got something that's amazing.
Yeah.
I mean, that song, Living in the Hall of Fame, you know, and you can be a champion, you can only really, really do that if you've got Jesus.
Right.
All right, and the Hall of Fame, it just reminds me, there's a passage in the Bible that talks about the crowd of witnesses. And the picture is one of all those who've gone before us in faith. All right, all the way back to the Old Testament, the heroes of when the church was first born, and heroes through the ages, and heroes of people who believe.
Yeah, that's right.
All right, from the ones we know to the ones we won't know till we're there. But they're like there watching and cheering on.
Yeah.
So we're actually living in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
And because we've got the champion living in us, we can be the champion that Will I Am is singing about.
Yeah.
We might even play it again at the end, because I just thought they've got something there. They got a little bit of Holy Spirit revelation, whether they know it or not. I don't know the guys. Maybe they know the Lord. I don't know. But, I just caught that this morning. Someone happened to tweet it while I was... And for some reason, I looked at it. And then I looked at it and thought, yeah, we'll play that this morning. That's good. I like that. But You become, the thing is, though, when you're calling people to live like champions, and when you're calling people to say you can change the world, what then usually happens is people lose confidence because they look at themselves and they think, well, I can't do anything. And actually, you're right, you can't. You know, on our own, we're pipsqueaks. We're nothing, really. Even the famous ones, they're nothing compared to the most anonymous person who has the Spirit of God in them because they know Jesus, who really can change the world. They might never be in the world's Hall of Fame, but believe me, they're up in the heavens book of fame. And that's actually where we want to be, not the world's book of fame particularly, although it'd be good to be famous in Scarborough, wouldn't it, so people come to check it out. You know, there is a sense of where it's right to make Jesus famous, and sometimes the way we make Jesus famous is we have to be well known. You know, well, I don't know where you work or what school you go to, or, you know, I do know what university a lot of you are at, but, you know, are you famous for all the right reasons wherever you are? Are you famous for being a loving person? Are you famous for being kind? Are you famous for being generous? Are you famous? Are you just famous because you're good fun to be around? Because Jesus was, and Jesus lives in us. But sometimes what stops us living like that champion is a sense of shame or a sense of failure. That's nothing new. That's been around since the very beginning.
Yeah.
All right? So let's just go back to where we were last week, just briefly, because we're going to go on from that. All right? So we were looking at two Psalms, Psalm 27 and Psalm 122. If you've got a Bible with you, you can look it up. If you haven't, you can't. Well, unless you grab it off the person next to you, but that's probably not considered Christian. Psalm 27, verse 4. One thing I've asked of the Lord, that I shall seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to meditate in his temple. Why is this significant to us? Because it reveals the heart of someone who is a follower of God. This is Old Testament, but the heart that's coming out is the desire to be with God's people. Do you remember that where it says house, the word meant where the family of God are. Bayith it is in Hebrew. But it meant where the family of God are congregation. So one thing I seek, one thing I want, is to be where the family of God are meeting in the temple. And the temple, the word means a spacious place where they worship God. So they're saying that my motivation in life, the psalmist is saying, one thing I really want is to be with the family of God in a spacious place, which means, in the way that it means spacious, it means there's freedom to be who you are. Not soot in some sort of Christian, I've got to be exactly like this little box, but you're free to be the person God's created you to be, where they worship God. So that's God's tick list. I was talking about the opinion poll tick list earlier, but God's tick list is a place where people want to be with the family. And sometimes you might not like the rest of the family. So you have to go to God and say, I've got to change. I've got to change. I've got to want to be with those people who know Jesus. Because if you don't like hanging out with the family of God, it means you don't really like Jesus. You like your image you have of Jesus, but this is the image of Jesus. Oh, I didn't know I was going to say that. I'm a little bit scared that I just did. But it's true.
That is true.
Hallelujah. And, you know, people, I was having this conversation with one of the Bethel students who was talking about people that irritate you. And he was talking about how they need to change and how you can confront them and stuff. Hang on, people that irritate you are there so you will change. Don't point your finger at what their sins are. If you're annoyed, that's your problem. Because God doesn't get annoyed with us. You know, he doesn't get wound up and irritated about the way we behave. He has an unconditional love. So if non-unconditional love begins to rise up in the sense of that guy is so irritating, it's actually God saying, yeah, let's deal with it in you. And very often, it's something that's in us that we try to keep hidden. And that person is demonstrating what we're trying to keep hidden in full-blown out-there mode, and we don't like it because it's like a revelation of what actually is in us, and we don't want people to find out. Is this all right? This isn't too practical for you. This is real church, where we start to learn to discover to be with one another. That's why Joanne organising the family meals and 36 people turning up, that's brilliant. That's absolutely wonderful. I'm so excited about that. That people want to hang out together.
That's good.
One thing that happened when the Holy Spirit went in the beginning of Acts was people wanted to be together. You know, and they were hanging out in their houses. They were going down the temple every day. One of my passions is that this becomes a place that you can hang out every day. You can gather in the temple courts with the people of God. One of the fantastic things about the last week is this place has been absolutely busy. You know, Wednesday it's just full of people. Thursday it was full of people. Hadn't even arranged. I mean, the youth angels have been having lunchtime stuff here, but people are just turning up. There was a whole bunch of people were here Thursday lunchtime who I've never met in my life. They were having a great time. Hallelujah. In fact, normally there's more people who don't come to church here than do. So do come. We need your help. No, you know, when you're around in town, pop in for that coffee or whatever. Let's get to a point where, we could just say, it's just open. You know, because we've got enough people to keep it going. And it becomes that community centre. Yeah, that's my passion, really, that people can just, they can come down St. Nicholas Street knowing that it's open and that there'll be somebody there from the body that they can talk to, or somebody that will pray with them, or somebody that will just have a cup of coffee with them, or maybe somebody that will have a game of pool with them, you know? Because all of those things come under being a family.
Yeah, that's good.
And we are a family.
Oh.
I'm a little bit passionate about family, you may have noticed. This is supposed to be reviewing last week. I've read the same verse and I think gone off in a completely different direction. But never mind. Psalm 122 verse 1 says, I rejoice with those who said to me, let's go to the house of the Lord. The house being the place where the family of God meet, the Bayith. Okay, I rejoiced with those who said to me, let's get that in our passion. You know, when somebody says, should we pop up the summit? It's, come on, let's see who's there. Or particularly for times when we're meeting together to worship. Sunday morning is probably our biggest session, but then there's Sunday evenings and there's Thursday nights. And it's like, come on, let's go up. Let's go up. Let's rejoice. Let's meet with the people. You know, and it's allowing God to change us if you don't feel like that, because that's his passion, because it's there in his word.
Yes. That's good.
Yeah? Amen. I mean, sometimes people don't feel like that about church because they feel they're going to go there, they're going to get judged, and, you know, they're going to feel a bit ashamed or they've failed. But let's kick all that out.
Yeah.
You know, this church is a bunch of saints because of the position God's put us all in, but we all don't quite live there all the time. We are striving so that we live in there. Well, not striving in the flesh, but you know what I mean. You know, we're seeking to obtain that. That song, Living in the Hall of Fame. We're seeking to live in the Hall of Fame under the gaze of the cloud of witnesses that are cheering us on because we're living the life. Yeah? But living the life isn't just doing the opinion polls and sharing the gospel, though that certainly is. It's being the best nurse that you can possibly be in the place that you are. That's why I also like the song, because it says, be an astronaut, be a politician. I can't do that. Did you notice in there it says, be a preacher, be a believer as well? I like, that's cool. Because they're all in with astronauts and politicians and business people and nurses and doctors and surgeons and cardiologists, you know, whatever, shopkeepers. These are all things we do to God. Come on.
Manager.
Well, we speak management over you, Dave. Yeah, come on. Jason King has a rival. Amen. He's the CEO of Sainsbury's. Now, Dave Thomas. Well, if we don't believe big, we won't get there. We're living in the Hall of Fame already because we have the champion in us. What I also liked about that video is you see the different starting circumstances, don't you, of the people? And it's in a very small way, it's encapsulating that no matter where you start, you can still be a champion. I mean, the guy that's going to be the champion boxer guy, he's obviously living in a pretty difficult home circumstances, shall we say. And the ballet dancer, she's got a loving, caring home, but she's got a personal disability, but she's not letting it hold her back. You know, we may have personal disabilities, we may have difficult homes, but it's not going to hold us back. Hallelujah. Like that first song Steve selected, nothing's going to hold us back. Okay, I'm not letting my circumstances, I'm not letting the way I feel, I'm not letting last night's pizza stop me from living for God's glory now.
That's right, that's right.
Woohoo! Yeah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Who's going to deliver some of these?
Yeah.
Yes.
That was your cue to go, yeah. Some of you were half there. That was a few. I'll try that one again spontaneously later. Right, so let's go on to today's message, of which we've got virtually no time left to do, but we will do it. And actually, we're going to go back even further, because God took me to a passage we were looking at over Easter, you know, when we were doing the runaround drama. We had this passage then. It's from John 20, verse 15. And it's all about, because what the theme, if you like, or what, because God has themes and seasons, and what God's speaking to us is about cultivating or dwelling in the presence. Hosting the presence. John 20 verse 15 says this. Jesus said to her, this is just after the resurrection of Jesus, in case you're not familiar with the story. So Jesus has died, he's been put in the tomb, and this is the point where the women have gone to the tomb. Some of the women have now gone. There's a little bit, if you remember, from Easter Sunday, where people are going, coming, going. And at this point, Mary Magdalene ends up at the tomb by herself. And Jesus comes to her. And initially, she doesn't recognize him. Probably because of the backlight, probably because she's weeping, probably because she's distraught. But she doesn't initially recognize him. Most people aren't expecting dead people to turn up. Jesus said to her, woman, which was a term of endearment, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking? Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, sir, if you've carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away. Jesus said to her, Mary. She turned to him and said to him in Hebrew, Rabboni, which means teacher. Jesus said to her, stop clinging to me, for I've not yet ascended to the Father. But now go to my brethren and say to them, I ascend to my Father and your Father, my God and your God. And Mary Magdalene went back to the disciples saying, I have seen the Lord. So, that little passage. Jesus' resurrection is fundamental to everything we believe.
That's right.
Yeah? Without it, what we have is an empty philosophy.
Yeah.
An empty, fairly hopeless philosophy, because it's based on a lie. Without the resurrection, there's nothing. Because it's all about the fact that Jesus has been the sacrifice and conquered death. It's not just that he's the sacrifice, but that he conquered death and has risen again to heaven. All right? He has had, as the Bible talks about his resurrection, a second birth. He has been born again, just like we can now be born again, a second birth, when we believe in Jesus. So that we will not die eternally, but have eternal life in the sense of living for eternity with God.
Yes.
All right. So without the resurrection, it's all just a deception and a waste of time. It also shows, the resurrection shows the power we have over everything else. Because death is kind of the ultimate bad thing. There's not much worse that can happen to any one of us than we die. You can be ill, you can be disabled, you can be put in prison, you can be handicapped, you can have a mental illness, you can have all kinds of bad things happen to you. But really, I suppose, ultimately, there's only one end, and that is death. Sometimes that can come like a release because of the circumstances, but it's still an end. And so what Jesus was showing is that he's overcome the end. And in fact, beyond the end, there is a new beginning. And we can now live in the new beginning. He says, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is right at hand. Christians are all about living in the new beginning.
Come on, that's right.
All right, we have a new hope, a new way, a new chance for life.
Amen.
So, eternal salvation comes, but also, because it's over everything, over death, all those other things that bother us in life are also overcome. So, yes, we have eternal life. But, yes, we have overcome, in Jesus, sickness. Because sickness isn't as big as death, if you like. Or financial issues. Or mental issues. That's why we've overcome them. Because Jesus has overcome them in that resurrection. Alright? Now, given that Jesus' resurrection is probably, no, given that Jesus' resurrection is the most important event in the Bible, God is going to handle the resurrection of Jesus in exactly the right way so that it's communicated to people the importance of that situation. That is why it is so significant that the first people to see him are women. In the other accounts, there are other women as well that see him at this time in different appearances. But even more significance that I want to grab this morning is that Mary touches him. He says, "Don't cling to me now." He's not saying, "Don't," you know, he's not saying, "Oh, get off." He's saying, "You can't cling to me as I am now because I'm going back to the Father." He's going back to the Father because, as he has explained in a different place, "I'm going back to the Father so I can send another counselor who can be with everyone." Jesus in bodily form could only be with the people that he was with in the body. But he was going to send another of the same type, the words mean, the Holy Spirit. One God, but three personalities, three persons. There is only one God, but there are three distinctives. Okay? Three personalities. But the first person to touch Jesus at this most significant moment in the whole of history, and certainly in God's plan for the world, is a woman, showing God's desire to see the status of women not being less than men. He chooses to have a woman there right at this point. But secondly, she touches him, the most holy person ever, and yet she, it says in another place, has been healed of multiple sicknesses and also had seven demons cast out of her. So goodness knows how they got into her, but it wasn't by having cheese and wine supper parties. We don't know what she was into. The idea that she was a prostitute is not necessary. It's not in the Bible. That's just a teaching that's grown up because of the prostitute that anoints Jesus' feet. There's no name mentioned at that point. We don't know if that's Mary Magdalene. Probably she wasn't. If there's any historical evidence of Mary Magdalene, she was very wealthy. She was one of the women that financed Jesus. She was one of the women, along with people like Joanna, who were responsible for the wealthy people getting saved in the new church. Interesting that it was mostly women that ministered to the wealthy. The disciples were mostly ministering to the not so wealthy because they came from less wealthy backgrounds. I don't think there's any significance in it, just interesting. But what is interesting is this woman was a woman who had every right to feel ashamed and full of sin because of the way God had treated her. Not, sorry, that's not right. The way life had treated her. But what a picture for everyone today. Because we're talking about hosting the presence. And as I was saying earlier, you can feel, or being champions, you can feel that you can't possibly make that grade. One day you might live well enough or good enough that you could, you know, live with the other heroes of the faith, living in the Hall of Fame, to use that song yet again. But this story just shows that no matter what you've come, where you've come from, you can cling to the presence. That's one thing Mary had got. She was going to cling on to him. Now, in these circumstances, Jesus has to explain, actually, there's something going to happen that's greater than you clinging to me in bodily form, because the Holy Spirit's going to come. You know, that's the full version. But you've just got this beautiful picture that whatever you, wherever you've come from, like the ballet dancer and the boxer, it's time for you to rise. If you just go backwards in the gospel story a little bit, there was another Mary. The first Mary to touch Jesus was his mother, the Virgin Mary. She represented purity, still does, and everything that is right. And so she was the first to touch Jesus right from his birth, because he was there to fulfill the law. Jesus was born into the law. All right, into the Old Testament, into the following the regulations and commandments of the Old. That's what he was born into. And as a result, he was born to a woman who was pure and righteous, why she was a virgin. But in the course of his life, as he says on the cross, that is now finished. When he had risen from the dead, we went from the time of the law to the time of grace. And so the first woman to touch him is a woman who has been in all kinds of sin, has been filled with demonic power, and has been covered in sickness. You know, when you look back at some of the times in history when the church has judged people who are ill, saying, well, you must be cursed by God, and yet the first woman who touched Jesus right from the tomb was a woman who had all kinds of sicknesses and infirmities and demonic powers within her. It's because it had moved from law to grace. We live under grace. We are the Mary Magdalenes, a bunch of Marys. It's not the best rallying call for the men's conference ever. Men, we're a bunch of Marys. Come follow me, the greatest Mary of them all. No. Now, this all took place with Mary in a garden. The tomb was in a garden. But there was another garden thousands of years before. Let's just have a little look there, because there in that garden, we're talking about the time of Adam and Eve. The presence was taken for granted. They walked with God, they talked with God, they had fellowship with God. Nothing had come to break that relationship. Now let's just have a look. We haven't got time to look at the whole story. We're just going to look at one small part in Genesis chapter 3, where this is the point after Adam and Eve have sinned against God. Okay? By eating the fruit, taking the fruit. They've gone against what God said. And it says, they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. Then the Lord God called to the man and said to him, where are you? Now, I'm going to tell you something that's potentially really dangerous. The sin had not cut them off. Who's looking for them? Your sin cannot cut you off from God. He's bigger than your mistakes and failures, no matter what they are. Even if they were this morning. I've just got this afresh. To me, this is completely new. This is the very point that caused everything that meant Jesus had to come. God knows all about it. And he is looking for them. It's them who are hiding. Why are they hiding? Because a sense of shame, because of what they've done, has come upon them. It says they were naked. They felt exposed. Well, they were. They felt exposed because all had been revealed. When we feel ashamed, let us recognize that all that we have is what's been in every generation of humankind, a desire to hide from God because before him we are naked. He knows everything. Yes, yes, yes. But it doesn't cut us off from him. He comes looking. Yeah. Where are you?
Yes, yes, yes.
Where are you, Adam? Where are you, Eve? Except that in your case, he's using your name. Where are you, Alex? Where are you, David? Where are you, Shona? Where are you, Donna? Where are you, Keith? Where are you, Rob? You're at the back. God comes calling us by name. Isn't that beautiful? But there's something else here that I have never known before that I saw this morning. This is the last thing I'm going to say to you this morning. It's the little expression that in my translation there, the cool of the day. You might have the evening. And sometimes it says something along the lines. But I was studying it, and I found that there's no reference to time whatsoever. The words used, the Hebrew word there that's translated cool, and for those of you that know Hebrew, you'll recognize it, is ruach. Yeah, the spirit, the breath, the wind. And that's all it says in Hebrew, in the breath, in the wind, in the spirit of the day. In other words, this passage is saying they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in his spirit, in his breath. The spirit of God was coming into the garden, and because they had sinned, they hid amongst the trees. And that's exactly what people do today. Because the spirit of God starts to come, they go away and they try and hide. And yet God is saying, where are you? So when we talk about hosting the presence, this is how excited it is. It's not a question of, oh, I'm not good enough, I've done this, I've done that. God is saying, where are you? I've come into the garden. My breath, my ruach, my wind, my spirit is here. Wow! And your sin, whatever it is, yes, you need to deal with it with God, but it's not going to cut you off. It's not an impenetrable chasm that cannot be breached. In fact, and I've never even thought about it like this before. It's like, you know the old bridge illustration? And there's man on this side and there's a chasm here of sin and God's over here. Do you know what really happens? God's over here, he goes, I'm coming! Where are you? He doesn't let sin. We're not separated because of sin. We're separated because of the shame and we run and hide from him. So let's recognize that and say, wow, what am I hiding from a God for who's coming after me? Because he loves me. Because he wants the best for me. Because he wants to walk with me. And yes, if there's sin in my life, he wants that dealt with. That's what Jesus paid for. But it will not cut you off. Nothing will cut you off from God, it says. And even if you do hide in the trees, he's going to come looking. Because that's exactly what happens. He finds them. Isn't that great? I've never seen that before. The ruach. I couldn't believe it when I looked up the word. And so then I went a bit further and I checked a couple of studies. And yeah, one of them says there's nothing to do with time. It's a tradition thing that's crept in from some of the older translations. That it was in the cool of the evening that they used to walk with God. The actual translation says, it's any time of the day, they used to walk in the Spirit with the Lord. Wow! That's what we've been restored to. You know, we have now the same that they had in the beginning, in that at any time, at any hour, we can walk in the Ruach, the breath, the wind, the Spirit of God. Even talking about it sends tingles down my spine. There is no huge chasm that cannot be breached. God leapt over it and then carries us back, if you like, via the bridge that is Jesus Christ into heaven. Oh, that's grace. We live under the season of grace that was ushered in by Mary Magdalene, the demon-possessed, well, ex-demon-possessed, lady who had all kinds of illness, who was clinging on to Jesus because she was in the garden and she wasn't going to let go of Jesus like Adam and Eve did. Because she knew her shame had been dealt with. Think about it. The risen Christ. And she dares to grab hold of him. God himself. She's got a pretty good inkling of who he is by now. And she's, despite everything, despite her background, she's holding on to him. That's good. And what might even mess more some of you up, she was very rich and wealthy. Because some people think he only came for the poor. He came for everyone.
Yeah.
Woo! Do you like that?
Yes.
We've got a place to stand. And it's in the Hall of Fame with that great crowd of heavenly witnesses watching us, cheering us on, and we stand there by grace.
That's right.
Thank you, Jesus. Come on. It's not to do with our past. We can't blame our parents, our wives, our husbands, our children, our teachers, our friends, our neighbours. It's us and God. Because in his presence, all that past is cast off. That's what Jesus died for, that we could overcome death. And everything else that comes less than death can be very major in our lives, but it's less than death. And it's dealt with. It's dealt with in Jesus Christ. We are free to be who he created us to be, so we can learn to live in his presence. Let's live in the Hall of Fame. Living in the Hall of Fame. Actually, it's more up. Danny's sort of more up there somewhere, isn't he? Living in the Hall of Fame. Maybe that's too high. Anyway, I'm getting a little distracted now. We're going to wind up. That's where you can give out these, by the way. Often when you do this, it's not... People think, oh, it's laziness, or people can't be bothered. It's not. It's people are too ashamed. They don't want to get caught doing it. Yeah. That's often the main reason people don't want to do something. Or questionnaires. But we're a bunch of Marys. I'm glad my bro at the back is agreeing with me. We're Marys. We are restored by grace. Richard's renaming the talk, We're a Bunch of Marys. I can see it right now. I called it Living in the Hall of Fame. Living in the Hall of Fame, subtitled We're a Bunch of Marys. Hallelujah. Listen, we could have a time of prayer and worship now. We could have a time of ministry. And there's, as you know, we do a lot of that, and there's a place for that. And we will pray for anybody at the end who's come seeking healing this morning. Absolutely, we will. But if we just had a response now, come forward if you're going to live in the Hall of Fame. To be honest, what needs to happen is we live in the Hall of Fame tomorrow morning.
Yes. Yeah.
Isn't it? That we start living it out. That we start realizing we are the champions. Wow, you're a champion. Right, champion. That's good, isn't it?
Yes.
I'm just listening to the Holy Spirit here, so, you know, to try and get a hint, you know, how do we finish? And I think this is what he's saying, and you might disagree with me, but let's go for it. We are going to go for a cup of coffee, but we're going to show that video again, and we're going to stand up, and I dare you to dance. And enjoy the song. That's our response. I'm living in the Hall of Fame and I'm enjoying it. It can just be a little bit of a wiggle. I mean, if you really want to, you can do the Christian two-step. Living in the Hall of Fame. You have to be a bit faster. Why don't you go half-time? Living in the Hall of Fame. John, do you need to come down the front and show us? It's no good hiding down the back being cool. No, yeah, we're just gonna stand, we're gonna watch it. But as they sing and as they get into the lyrics, just realize, just get in there. I'm living in the Hall of Fame. I am a champion. God has done this to me. It's not what's happened to me, it's what God has done for me. Yeah? Oh! The breath of God, the Spirit of God, the wind of God is coming in this time. We are hosting the presence of God. Let's not run away and hide in the trees. Because He's here for us and He's calling us by name. And that presence. So we're going to watch a secular video and the presence of God is going to come on you.
Yes, amen.
Whoa! Can that happen? Oh, yes. Hallelujah. A determination, a sort of an energy, a passion. Like that Heart and Soul song that we sang right at the very beginning. What a great choice that was for this morning. Hallelujah. Let's all stand, shall we?
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com/Yorkshire.